You're listening to Jeremy Beck on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
That's right. And I'm filling in for Mike Ryan on the Mike Ryan Show. And we have a big couple of hours coming up. Let's look at the news first. A top vaccine expert with the FDA and NIH warns healthy young people not to get the COVID-19 booster. There's not clear evidence of benefit versus risk. Now, this is the expert, Paul Offit, director of the Vaccine Education Center at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia and professor of pediatrics at the University of Pennsylvania. And he said, quote, "What I fear is that they're going to say everybody should get it when in fact the healthy young person really is unlikely to benefit from the booster dose," close quote. And he said that in a CNN interview. And he said it's unfair for young people to take a risk with a product that has only been tested on lab mice. Absolutely. And of course, it should never, ever have been recommended for children, full stop, because we knew all along from the data that children have probably a bigger chance of dying from a lightning strike than from COVID. So, you know, it's about time people are starting to wake up. We need many, many more. Now, in other news headlines, there's a story here. Asian country hit with shortage of national dish. Extreme weather has damaged South Korea's cabbage crop, and a shortage of supply is driving up prices. Kimchi, Korea's traditional side dish, contains fermented vegetables such as napa cabbage and Korean radish. It is eaten as a side dish with almost every Korean meal, so the cabbage crop damage is a big blow for South Korea. And Korea has been squeezed by historically high inflation as well to top things off. It's not doing too good right now if you're in South Korea. North Korea is probably worse the way things are going there. But South Korea is a modern industrial economy. They are one of the world's richest nations, and now they are having trouble with cabbage or the lack of it. Now, of course, some people will blame climate change. You know, extreme weather has caused this. Well, I can tell you, no. Extreme weather happens from time to time. That is what weather is. And of course, this is part of the La Nina cycle, which we're going to have wet on this side of the world and dry in the Americas. And then when we have the opposite effect, then we have our droughts here in Australia. And of course, it's a whole global cycle. And it's not too surprising that there are some areas which are having severe rainstorms, damage. We've had it all in the past, and it will happen again and again. So that is a problem for South Korea. They will have to find some alternative food supplies, and it's getting much, much worse with the inflation. Everything's going up. So what do they do? Well, they've got to eat something, don't they? Okay, don't miss out on a thing. Be sure to download the TNT Radio app from either the Apple App Store or Google Play so you can easily listen to us live anywhere, anytime. Available right now to download. Keeping you up to speed on TNT Radio.
Keeping the commitment 24/7.
I've been in the car all day and I got to listen.
Can't get enough of it.
You guys are doing a great job.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
There has been some big news on several fronts, including COVID-19, but it's not having much impact on our globalist leaders. Omar Khan is a regular guest on the Mike Ryan Show. Omar is a global consultant who has advised clients in the United States, United Kingdom, Europe, South America, South Africa, and the Middle East, Southeast Asia, Asia Pacific, and Australia, just about everywhere, on leadership responses to opportunities and crisis. His firm, EPL Global, seeks to convey better information for better decision-making. Omar writes a regular column for Daily FT, which can be found on ft.lk. Welcome to TNT Radio again, Omar.
Glad to be here.
And you have lots to tell us, I'm sure, and particularly we have lots to cover on the subject of COVID, on the subject of US politics, European economy, world politics, Ukraine. The list goes on and on. Let's start with COVID, because there are some quite impressive developments. I think there's a report out by Dr. Asim Malhotra, which is very excellent, I think. I'm sure you're familiar with that one. How about starting off there?
Yeah, well, it links up with your opening salvo as well, relative to the pediatric opinion out of Philadelphia. But this is one of the UK's most eminent consultant cardiologists. And what's interesting is he was the first to publicly take two doses of the vaccine and was promoting it on Good Morning Britain. And now has, you know, seen the light, so to speak, and has written in the peer-reviewed Journal of Insulin Resistance exactly the thing normal mortals take to the beach when they want a quiet Sunday. It's a two-part research paper, and the title in itself is fascinating. It says, Curing the Pandemic of Misinformation on COVID-19 mRNA Vaccines Through Real Evidence-Based Medicine. In a nutshell, he says that since the rollout, the evidence of effectiveness and the true rates of adverse events make it irrational not to suspend immediately the use of these vaccines until a completely independent scrutiny and analysis can be done. He has looked at data from randomized controlled trial data and concluded that you have a greater risk, unless you're very elderly, and maybe even then, you have a greater risk of suffering a serious adverse event from the vaccine than being hospitalized with COVID-19. And basically, this is most acute when it comes to cardiovascular safety. And they're basing this on cardiac arrest calls to ambulances in England in 2021, and similar data from Israel, particularly in the 16 to 39-year-old age group. And funnily enough, if you look at the FDA's own website, and this is really funny, you and I have talked about this before, they occasionally let loose the truth and embed it somewhere on their websites in the hope that nobody will read it, the small print.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's all starting to come out all at once. I've seen so many encouraging developments, and of course the PCR testing, which is what really started this whole hysteria that, you know, you're PCR positive, and of course, well, it didn't necessarily mean that you had COVID at all. There were so many false positives because of the cycle thresholds that they used to use, much higher than was advisable, and it really started this whole hysteria. Can you just mention any new developments on PCR testing?
Well, I think most people are ditching them now. You know, they're going more and more with the rapid antigen tests, or they're being guided more by symptoms, except in places like the US, where they want to be able to say that it's COVID is still killing more people than the flu. The only way to do that is you continue to have these gerrymandered death certificates, where as long as you test positive for COVID, whatever else led to your passing just gets absorbed into the mix. And in order to get you to test positive, because there's still no national standards, I mean, I think, look, when we go back and review this period and talk about the scandals, last week you and I spoke about how the novel coronavirus was a novel, that there was cross-reactive immunity. Well, another one would be that you came up with a test that was ready to be released before the genome was mapped. The test had no national, international standard agreed upon. And so you had people all over the world testing at different thresholds. Now, surely anybody you don't have to be an advanced medical scientist or researcher to conclude that apples and apples have to be compared. And when you're dealing with a technology that basically just magnifies, then an amplification setting that takes you, say, above 35 cannot be compared with, say, somebody being the presence of the virus at, say, 15 or 20. So I think it's not only that the test is a fraud, it's not even being used in a uniform way. The people are just, you know, fiddling with it at a point where, as we know, if you raise it high enough, papaya fruit will test positive.
Yeah, and there wasn't a recognized global standard of what number of cycle thresholds should be used. They were using various different numbers at different times.
Jeremy, not even within the same country.
Yeah.
I mean, forget the fact that it wasn't globally, but within the same country or in different federal jurisdictions or different labs. So, I mean, how nonsensical do you want to make it?
Absolutely. Now, when I gave my introduction, I referred to Professor Paul Offit, and I think that's quite a significant development because he is a vaccine expert. He initially was very, very pro-vaccine, and now he's making some major statements opposing it. Can you just elaborate more on that? Because I think people don't realize how significant this is.
Well, you see, and it's on both sides of the pond. You're talking about the fact that, you see, even the Danish public authorities have called for a pause in the use of vaccine in younger people. What he's pointing out is just very clear. There's no instance of kids being at risk. I mean, no instance of any healthy child, according to the CDC, that passed away purely from COVID without significant comorbidities. So therefore, why would you be boosting when you have adverse effects, when these boosters have been tested on 8 mice, all of whom died? So, I mean, who does that? Mm. I mean, if you put that would be a comic strip. You know, 8 dead mice. That's my sample, you know, for the boosters. And the boosters don't seem to be doing much better because we have the president of Pfizer now claiming to have been afflicted 4 times. I mean, he's proud of it. You see the nincompoop. This is like you've heard the one, you know, the joke about the burglar alarm.
Go on.
You know, so the person, you know, comes in and says, did you buy a burglar alarm? Yes. And yes, I've only been burgled 3 times. And they said, oh, 3 times? She said, yeah, it could have been much worse. She said, how could it be much worse? They said, well, they were told that if I didn't have the burglar alarm, I could lose my whole house. This way I only lost half of my possessions. It could have been much worse. I mean, and if anybody went to market and said, buy my burglar alarm, you'll only get burgled 4 times. I mean, you'd run them out of, you know, the marketplace, but not here.
Well, I know many anecdotes to show that the effectiveness of these COVID injections is just simply not there. Just from the anecdotes that I know from neighbors, family members, and so forth, and myself included, because I have not taken the jabs. I have mixed very, very freely with many, many people who have not taken the jabs. And I have not got sick that I know of because I have not tested. I've not taken a PCR test or any test. So I don't even know whether I've had COVID or not. I've had a few mild sore throats over the last 2 years. And I know many people like that. I know others who did get the test and tested positive and they had no jabs and they fared fine. And look, there's so many anecdotes that I know, and others who I know who have had the jabs and they felt rotten, but they said, oh, I'm so glad that I had those injections because it would have been so much worse. So that's the point you were making. I think there's just so many anecdotal evidence of people just talk among their own friends and family. But we do need to take a break now and then we'll be right back. This is TNT Radio.
You should hear what Jeremy Nell is talking about.
How significant is this COVID era in the big picture? Is it merely just yet another event, or is it significantly more important?
More than just another stage, it was a massive stage because it pushed forward the agenda very, very quickly in many different areas. And if I pick one up and go with the economy, which is of course very topical and relevant now, lockdown was not to do with protecting the public from a virus. A virus, by the way, that is still yet, after all this time, to be shown to exist. And so you had the lockdown with the motivation of throwing a massive spanner in the works of the global economy. Amazon did great. Facebook did great. All these major corporations did great because they weren't, quote, locked down. But all these smaller businesses, medium businesses, and even bigger businesses that are not connected to this cult were locked down and, of course, suffered enormous economic and financial damage as a result.
Jeremy Nell on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
Morning, Mama. How you feeling?
Great. And I'm ready for you today.
I'm checking in on you. Morning meditation?
Check.
Dressed and ready to work out?
Check.
Check your blood pressure yet?
And check.
Boom. Great job, Mom. And about those gold earrings?
No, ma'am.
Now more than ever, it's important that we protect our hearts and the hearts of those we love. Monitor your blood pressure daily and help each other stay motivated. Rally your squad to take the online pledge at releasethepressure.org. Brought to you by the Release the Pressure Coalition and the Ad Council.
The new communism is COVIDism. Mandating that the truth be told, this is TNT Radio.
This is Jeremy Beck, and my guest is Omar Khan. And before the break, we were talking all about COVID. One other point on COVID I think is very important is the mandates of pregnant and breastfeeding women. I mean, it was bad enough for any mandates to take place, but I think it's particularly shocking that pregnant women were mandated, because they have a child in their womb who potentially could be at great risk of this experimental jab. What are your thoughts there, Omar?
Well, I mean, I think this has always been incidental to these people, right? I mean, we had no idea about the impact when any of the earlier trials were done, even the limited trials for the emergency use authorization. You know, as you're aware, they didn't even bother to test any vulnerable populations. So they took healthy people, people who anyway were under no risk. So we learned nothing. And then they went afterwards, and then they jabbed all the placebo group. So you had no control group. So that means you don't want the answer, right? I mean, that's what's horrifying. Mm. And, you know, horrifying is a mild word for taking these kinds of risks. But, you know, you do that with children, you do that with pregnant women, you do that with, I mean, where does it stop? Which life is it acceptable to take unsupervised, uninspected risks with? The article in the journal that we were talking about earlier, the insulin resistance journal that the UK doctor was writing in, also points out something that I've raised on the show before. There's no way any of us have gotten informed consent, much less children or pregnant women. Because informed consent would mean that you confessed that your likelihood of, in your age group and your health, is 0.113% or whatever it is, or 0.05%, depending on which seroprevalence study you read. And your likelihood from this experimental gene therapy is unknown, especially in the medium to long term. And even in the short term, we have more adverse effects than in all the cumulative adverse effects tracked for all the vaccines ever created since tracking began. Mm. Now, if you told that to someone and said, would you like one? I can't imagine that many people would say, yes, please.
Certainly now, so there is a
matter of how you pose the question, right?
Yeah, I was just saying, certainly now there is a massive drop-off in the uptake of these boosters. I understand that the latest booster, there's only about 1 or 2% of the population who are taking them up of the eligible population. So the truth must be getting out there to people waking up that they're not exactly something you want to go anywhere near.
Yeah, well, you see what's happening is that even people who don't verbally say they agree because they can't fess up, just aren't signing up to take it. Mm. Right? I mean, and so that's the whole thing. I saw this rather funny cartoon. Dr. Fauci dressed up like Kwai Chang Kane from the old Kung Fu TV show. He's got a mask on, and the title says, "The Mystical Art of Confusion Called Fauci." And but I think it's not confusion. I think it's malice and prevarication.
Mm. Well, certainly, I think there is a combination of malice and scandal and conspiracy, but also there's some big stuff ups in there at the same time. I don't can subscribe to the theory that it's one or the other, a stuff up or a conspiracy. I think it's a bit of both.
Yeah, I mean, the and by the way, when we were talking about the mice, the FDA and CDC signed off on these so-called Omicron-specific vaccines from data that didn't even include the clinical mouse data. It was proxy data. So they gave the vaccine to the mice and tested for antibody response. And the presumption that the antibodies will work to stop COVID is based on nothing. Okay, nothing whatsoever, just like the earlier booster data. And just like the boosters, they did not allow an expert panel to give an opinion because they knew what the experts would say. So you have here a field of red flags. And so, you know, you have a situation where the blatant lies continue, but I think people aren't necessarily mentally equipped to rebut every scientific assertion, but they know what smells putrid. Mm. And so they're just not stepping. And rightly so.
I think there is a gradual awakening in the population, but as you say, they aren't always conscious of all the lies, but everyone knows that there are some things that are just clearly false. They may not understand that they're just straight out lies, but they know that the the goalposts have been shifted so many times and the rhetoric has changed and so many contradictions. So there are many, many people who are just sitting right in the middle who they're not on our side, but they're certainly not on the other side of the pro big pharma lobby either. So there are many people in the middle who we can wake up further to realize, you know, we better not go down this path again, or civilization is in deep, deep trouble. But on that note, we do need to go to the news headlines. This is TNT Radio.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. There's been a series of major developments in the colossal cyber attack that's impacted nearly half of Australia's population. Hackers are now demanding ransom payments from individual victims. A man in the US state of Michigan has pleaded guilty to murdering, cutting up and eating the body of a man who he'd met on a gay dating app. And 11 children and 6 adults have been shot and killed at a school in Russia.
On air and on the app.
I listen on the app.
Stay up to date around the clock.
I listen, therefore I know.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Jeremy Beck back and my guest, Omar Khan. And just a bit more on COVID, and then I want to move on to some other subjects because there's plenty of things happening. But do you see, Omar, many serious conflicts of interest in terms of big tech and Pfizer, for example, or any of the big pharma corporations?
Sorry, do I see what? A collusion?
Conflicts of interest.
I mean, you realize that that's exactly what the doctor was warning against. You have, you have a situation where all these doctors are being paid or their career is being moved forward by their links with Big Pharma. And when that's the case, Big Pharma, of course, just wants to sell more pills. So you need an independent, you need a proper medical board, not a monopoly, making decisions. And that's something we've completely failed in. And that's why there's no trust. You know, it's not just asteroids, your piece earlier. You know, do you trust the U.S. government to oversee your safety in outer space? Well, I wouldn't in the street corner, much less, outer space. Because the system has to produce doctors who are not in thrall to the pharmaceutical concerns. So, you know, that's the essence of it, right? If at the time that mandates, if you take a look, the emergency use authorization was done without access to raw data. The mandate served no purpose other than to bolster profits of the drug industry. Again, I used to always point out that if you step on a nail and you run to get your tetanus shot. Nobody has to mandate it. Right? There's enough experience behind it. Can you imagine somebody having to offer you ice cream cones or an internment camp, you know, at that time?
Yes.
So the fact of the matter is you had to put mandates because nobody saw any real benefit. Nobody was really sick. And another disaster that we did, we decoupled illness from symptoms for the first time in history. We defined cases as testing positive. Unprecedented. And you had to do that because otherwise this whole thing would have been over by, you know, June 2020. But in one way, maybe we're lucky it wasn't, because it showed the rot at the core of the system.
I think so. And there are some encouraging developments, although they are happening far too late. But nonetheless, they're happening. Canada has lifted all the COVID border requirements and has suspended the mask mandate. And there are more and more expert scientists speaking out. I understand there's a petition circulating. 200-plus scientists and doctors have signed a petition to ask the government in, and this is in the United Kingdom, to pause the child COVID jabs. Yeah, this is happening more and more. So there are some encouraging developments, but people did see the very ugly face of how bad it could get. So maybe that will help people wake up in future. Now, on to other subjects, Omar. In US politics, how do you see the state of US politics right now? Because the United States is, I think, the most important nation in the world, because if the United States goes under, I think it drags the rest of the world under, and they're very dangerous because they're the biggest world's military power.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the problem is that it's going to come down to the following. It's going to come down to the results of the midterms, but it's also going to come down to the nature of Republican. So even if Democrats are evacuated from some of their seats, if all we get are GOP trolls who are basically also subject to the same accommodation that their Democratic counterparts, we won't get anywhere. So we have to hope for some rebels. We have to hope for people who are willing to take on the orthodoxy. And that's, you know, a stretch, because I tell you, it's amazing. But, you know, we've seen it now. For example, Macron held on by the skin of his teeth, and we're not even sure fully about the integrity of that election. Trudeau lost his majority. You know, we've seen people getting, you know, toppled, like Boris, of course. You know, it wasn't time for an election, so the next party hack came along. Now, in the U.S., we have to see the fault lines. If we begin to see blue states or blue districts turning red, and if they're turning that kind of red, which are about civil liberties and evidence-based and autonomy, then we have a fighting shot. But right now, they've just put up another $12 billion package in reserve for the Ukraine for reasons nobody knows, for uses that nobody understands. And I do worry that this is going to stockpile. And there isn't a strong economy out there right now to act as a backstop. China's cooling down, Europe is a leading mess, Australia is hemorrhaging, you know, the developed world is on its, you know, knees. So, you know, the U.S. could lead, and again, you have to take a look. You know, you see in other countries also pushbacks in Germany, in the Netherlands. So we have to hope that the U.S., yes, but a little more of a tidal wave develops.
There definitely is a pushback.
Sorry, go ahead.
There definitely is a pushback in Italy with the election with Giorgia Meloni, and she is quite an interesting character, political character, that the mainstream media ascribes her to the far right. In fact, I've heard some of her speeches, and I tend to agree with a lot of what she says, although I'm very concerned that she's bought into this Ukraine narrative and is happy to send weapons over there, which is very unfortunate, because a lot of what else she says is quite encouraging, I think. Have you got any thoughts on Giorgia Meloni?
Well, you know, I think other than the Ukrainian baloney issues from Meloni, as you were talking about, her instincts otherwise, you know, are pretty good, because she is not going to drink the Kool-Aid. She is not a great reset person. And that's what we need. We need people who are out of membership with that club and who can tap. There's a lot of anger. We see around the world. And Italy has certainly been a hotspot of it. And they've been there because, you know, they've been locked up. They've had their economy decimated. You know, they've been told what they can do. The masks were continuing. There's just a certain percentage, call it a 40-45%, who are just annoyed and mad as hell, in the words of that old movie Network, and they just don't want to take it anymore. Hmm. And I think she's the voice of that. Now, can they finally push across the electoral winning line? We've seen that. We thought it was coming in France. We thought it might be coming in Canada. It didn't quite happen because those old instincts eventually seem to kick in, and I'm hoping a few dams will break.
Yeah, certainly. I think so. And there are some encouraging signs, although, as I said, with Giorgia Meloni, that's encouraging. But then when I heard a position on Ukraine, it really gave me a sinking feeling.
Have a little bit of a sinking feeling, right? Because, I mean, just go back in your mind to Trump. Mm. His initial instinct, or even Boris, their initial instincts were, don't shut down, don't lock down. That's crazy. Mm. And then somehow the ghouls got to them, and told them, and, what was 2 weeks just became perpetual. So we have to hope not only that she's saying the right things now, when she's far from the temptations of power, but that she and others could hang in there and stick the sanity, even when they're assaulted by all the various whatever temptations that come their way. Most of these guys make their money after they leave office.
Hmm. I think that there are two issues where whether people say all the right things when they're out of office, and when they get into office, it's a different ball game. That's one issue. But the other issue is that people's own delusions anyway, whether or not they're in office or out of office, so many leaders just fail to understand some of the biggest issues that they should be understanding. So I think it's a case of magical thinking, as you've once mentioned,
yes,
among all leaders. But then the worst problem is once they get into power, it's on top of that, they have all the pressures of being in office and having to make compromises. What's your thoughts on all that?
Well, no, I think that's correct. I mean, I think, first there is knowing how to play to the audience. And then I think when you arrive, part of the problem is, if we just go, pardon me for going historical for a moment. But when Abraham Lincoln dubiously and barely won the presidency, what he did, and that is perhaps one of the elements of greatness, is he brought along, and Doris Kearns wrote a book about it, called A Team of Rivals. He brought his biggest political opponents into the tent. And he said, we're faced with such a massive challenge that I don't want any good idea not heard. I don't want anyone bickering off in a corner saying, I could have solved this, I could have resolved this, but I was shut out. Now, he made it clear, I am the president, I am the deal breaker, eventually what I say goes. But en route to that, we'll give a robust hearing, because the real aim is either to stave off the Civil War or to end it, or, as he said, to bind up the nation's wounds. Well, we are so far away from that today, where you cannot even dare mouth a contrary view and be allowed in the same zip code. We're so terrified of so-called disloyalty. So the moment you come in, you're surrounded by people whose only job is to tackle the truth before it reaches you, or to spin it. And then you get, especially if you're on the side of the media, then what the media does is it dishes up what you want to hear. And it makes you think that anybody who's opposed to you is an extremist, a vax denier, anti-science, whatever the tag of the day might be. So we just don't have independent thinkers, right? I mean, that's the problem. And they don't collect around them, this team of rivals.
People are just driven by their emotions, I think, is one of the biggest problems. They just have lost that rational ability to think. And the establishment, the globalists, love to play on people's emotions, and that's how they get people to do totally stupid things. And another problem I see is people's egos are getting in the way. And I've seen that even amongst some of the best people on our side, their egos get in the way and they start abusing each other rather than just looking at facts. And you know, who cares if you're wrong or right? Let's solve the problem, because civilization is facing a crisis. Now, we do need to go to another break, our final break for the hour, and then we'll be right back. This is TNT Radio.
Have we reached the Book of Revelation's end times? Is climate change driving the end of the world? Many college professors say so.
From Washington, D.C., this is the Marano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Marano.
Peace Professor Michael Clare of Hampshire College had the following to say in Salon Magazine. If our Earth continues heating at its exponential rate, our post-apocalyptic fantasies could become everyday realities. And here's the real apocalypse. Get ready. Here's what he said. We envisioned rising temperatures, prolonged droughts, freakish storms, hellish wildfires, rising sea levels, food riots, mass starvation, state collapse, mass migrations, and conflicts of every sort, up to including full-scale war, could prove even more disruptive and deadly. Persistent drought and hunger will force millions of people to abandon their traditional lands and flee to the squalor of shanty towns. That, ladies and gentlemen, is what your children are being taught at so-called institutes of higher learning. Take back your kids' education from professors like Michael Clare at Hampshire College. No more climate apocalypse. For the Marano Minute, this is Mark Marano on TNT Radio.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me?
Join me and help fight for them by supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America.
They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Elon Musk wants Jack Dorsey to turn over Twitter info on spam or spam bot accounts. Yet the Australian government and Digi, which includes Twitter, wants to address fake bots and fake accounts. The disinformation and misinformation is from the government and big tech. Disagree with what government is saying and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to digi.org.au. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
And this is Jeremy Beck, and my guest is Omar Khan. Now, Omar, I'd just like to turn to Ukraine, because there are a lot of very, very troubling things happening there and escalating tensions between the United States and Russia. There are all sorts of threats of nuclear war, threats of use of nuclear weapons. It's reaching a point where I'm just wondering how long it can go on like this. And the United States is sending more assistance, I believe $12 billion in new assistance to Ukraine.
Yeah.
Where do you see it headed, and how serious is it?
Well, you know, the problem is nobody knows until it's too late. I don't think, you know, again, what you were just saying, these things are made by... are affected by emotional decisions. I'm hoping there's enough of an emotional circuit breaker against mutual assured self-destruction that all of the bloviating and all of the chest pounding will fall short of overriding that. What I don't know is that if nobody declares an endpoint, and what that endpoint may be, this could just be like Afghanistan, or this could be Palestine. This could become who knows what. It could just be malingering. Now, the problem is you have nuclear armed players here, and you just begin to wonder. But then you had that with the Cold War as well. And somehow, you know, the saner heads prevailed. I don't think that we're going to know much until after the midterms, because the way the midterms land will determine a little bit about, because if you get more of the same Republicans, they're going to say, we're not doing this. just not going to continue doing this. This is a money laundering operation. This is something that these two have to sort out. And we need to stop when we don't even have, we have SMEs failing, we have schools failing, we have infrastructure not developed. And, you know, Putin is himself under pressure from his home audience, for whom this is, you know, not, you know, the greatest crusade that they wanted him to fight. So I just think that right now it's utter confusion, and it's a matter of which lever gets pulled. But I think just watch the midterms. They will be a canary in the mine.
Have you been following the referendums in the Donbass republics? And there's a good turnout in numbers, I understand. Sure. What do you make of that whole process?
Well, I think, you know, it's a step in the right direction, only insofar as anything that gets the voice of the people and not just the voice of four politicians. However confused, you know, I'm all for it. And I think I don't think it'll be decisive, though. I think it will add to the chatter. But I wish you could say that if we knew that there's a certain point of view, then that'll affect everybody. But, you know, you also have people like Yahoo, who will never back down. They're calling these sham referendums in Donbass. Sham because, you know, saying citizens would not have that view. They say this was organized by Moscow. And that they're going to use it to escalate the war. NATO's answer is not to, of course, explain the basis, but just to step up support. So I think the Russian lawmakers, as we know, have already voted to recognize the Donbass republics as independent states earlier in the year. So clearly it's a matter of which side you believe. Because if you don't like that outcome, it's a bit like Kashmiri referendum. You read the tea leaves for the tea you want.
Well, I think that no matter what the numbers are, the NATO West side will just not recognize it no matter what. Even if 100% of the people in the Donbass republics wanted to join Russia, they don't care. And even if that's true, they don't care.
They have an explanation that this was instigated. So, I mean, I think you can only take it so seriously. I think that's the right move from the Russian side. It'll be too little, too late for the people who can spin. I mean, look, if you can spin things like pregnant mothers and their reaction and say, oh, no, you still need to all get vaccinated, you know, then you can spin anything.
Yeah.
So and just before I might have to take my leave of you in a minute or two.
Tell me when you have to go.
But I wanted to throw something in your direction, which we haven't touched on, if you'll allow me.
Yeah, go for it.
And that is that censorship has reached a new low when big tech is now censoring us. Meaning that basically PayPal and others can decide that which people and institutions it's cretinous, hair-triggered stuff disapprove of. So the Free Speech Union, set up by Toby Young, who does the Daily Skeptic in the UK, were hacked off, irony lost, by the PayPal people. So if you can imagine that, you know, people masquerading as social justice warriors are forcing their inane ideas on us all, and therefore determining, you know, who operates, who doesn't, then you know it has reached a real low when PayPal, Venmo, Stripe, Square, and of course, I'm urging people, exercise your own free speech and boycott them, because there are other ways to transact business without empowering them to decide what we should listen to and what we shouldn't.
Good point.
With that, maybe I can leave that in your good hands.
Yes.
And look forward to picking that back up when we're next on.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much, Omar, for coming on to TNT Radio. I know you have to go, so we'll talk another day, no doubt. And I will continue on for 5 minutes to just give a sense of where we're at and just a summary of what we just discussed, because I think Omar did a fantastic job there to really cover the biggest topics of our time. I mean, look, COVID, you can't go past COVID because it's just been in our lives for nearly 3 years now. And I think that, you know, it's just not going to go away. That issue will not go away. And there's been some fantastic shifts in the last week or two. But this particular one that I think is very important is Dr. Asim Malhotra, because he was very, very pro-vaccine in the early part. And his report has come out, and I've had a good read of it. It's only 8 pages long, but I've had a good read of it. I downloaded it. And his conclusion was, quote, "It cannot be said that the consent to receive these agents was fully informed, as it is required ethically and legally. A pause and reappraisal of global vaccination policies for COVID-19 is long overdue," end quote. And that's an incredible conclusion from someone who previously was very, very pro-jab. Now, Dr. Asim Malhotra is a highly recognised doctor, a British cardiologist, and he has felt this personally because his father died. His father got a heart attack, and in his paper he suggested that it may well have been the COVID jabs that did it. And I did some searches today on that incident, and at the time when his father had a heart attack, the ambulances just took forever to turn up. And at the time he was very upset, obviously, and he blamed the ambulance system and the healthcare system for not turning up urgently enough to see his father, because he said if they got there sooner, you know, he's sure he would have survived. But now, after all the data's coming in and seeing the increased death rates, I think it's just becoming obvious to even the most diehard pro big pharma, pro vax people, the data's just undeniable. So that report is extremely significant, and the report's name is "Curing the Pandemic of Misinformation on COVID-19 mRNA Vaccines Through Real Evidence-Based Medicine, Part 1. So I'd like to see his other parts. I don't know when they're coming out or if they have come out. But the point is that COVID, the issue is here and has been here for nearly 3 years. It's not going to go away. I think when the bodies start piling up, people will be fuming as they know that they've been deceived. At this stage, more and more people are starting to waking up. People will be fuming as they know that they've been deceived. At this stage, more and more people are starting to wake up, but you wait till more and more happens on that front. And on other subjects, Omar certainly covered very well on the geopolitical front, because what we're seeing right now is a real danger in Ukraine. We're seeing a real danger in the economy. And there are some encouraging shifts, but it's not all, you know, black and white. I mean, when you have a look at Giorgia Meloni from Italy, who's just got elected, it looks like she's going to be the new PM. I think that's somewhat of an encouraging shift. But then again, you know, she's really often Ukraine, so you can't have everything. But overall, I think we've had a great hour. We're about to come up to the news headlines now. I'm Jeremy Beck, filling in for Mike Ryan, and this is TNT Radio.